15% off everything you can fit inside the bag is back at Menards. Make painting easier by using a one-coat product. Grand Distinction is an interior paint and primer in one that will give your home a fresh, updated look. Right now, get 15% off Pittsburgh products and all the painting supplies you can fit inside the bag through January 12th. See store for complete details. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 18.
Hello everyone and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Episode 6, Season 18. Unbelievably, after this episode, we only have 4 more episodes to go, and then we hit our end of season break. Perhaps it was the festivities of Christmas and New Year, but this season has gone quicker than any other I can recall. I can't believe I'm already in the second half, and I can't believe I've only 4 more to do after this. I think the standard of submissions we've received for this season has been phenomenal. And this is in no way putting down today's experience or next week's experience, both of which I do believe are phenomenal, but the final 3 that we've saved for the end of this season, to me, are something else. And of course, season 19 is when we will begin looking at adding video to the Dark Paranormal family. We believe we will begin with Dark Bites and see how it goes from there. But I am so excited for the upcoming year, for both this show and for you guys and for me, to see where this show takes us. 2024 proved that your voice matters on this show. It is your show, but it is also true that our Patreons have a stronger voice. They have a direct line to me. When you sign up to our Patreon, not only do you receive everything on this main feed, both ad-free and before anyone else, but you can also receive the entire back catalogue of Dark Bites, which is closing in on 100 hours to binge through, and of course a new Dark Bites episode every week. On Dark Bites, we look at the experiences which are too short for a minisode, or maybe just a bit longer than a minisode. Ones that don't fit kind of anywhere, they're perfect for our Dark Bites. And we get a bit more of a formal time to discuss those events, those experiences, which has a new episode release each and every week of the year, which means when the Dark Paranormal takes a break, Dark Bites does not. And I've decided to add this in on the main feed so our Patreons can also hear this information too, firsthand. We will be introducing shortly video chats and Q&As about the Dark Bites episodes, so we can discuss, literally, those episodes that have aired. And let me tell you, it is that community which is the reason I would personally join up to the Patreon. It's a team of like-minded paranormal enthusiasts who support each other irrelevant of whether they believe, disbelieve, or even personally find a story incredulous. Basically, it's a beautiful supportive environment which is exceptionally rare within the paranormal community. There are no hierarchies, there are no cliques nor gatekeepers, and in all honesty, if I found that taking place, I would remove them from the Patreon. Because although monetarily I would lose their support, I would maintain the integrity of that group, one which the Patreons themselves have worked so hard to maintain. So if early ad-free releases are your thing, as are bonus episodes each and every week, and being part of a wonderful community, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, it's time to lower those lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly, leave your disbelief at the door. As rather serendipitously, for episode 6, we have The Sixth Scent. Hi, Kevin. I started listening to the podcast about 2.5 years ago, but I've only just joined up now to Patreon, after putting it on my Christmas list. So thank you for all the plugging about the subscriptions being able to be bought as gifts, because it made it easy to point my hubby in the right direction. The reason I started listening in the first place was that I'd just lost my father to mesothelioma. And I had a lot of work to do, sorting out his hoarder's office, to get stuff settled for Mum. I spent many hours sorting through endless paperwork, just trying to make sense of his dysfunctional filing system, whilst at the same time dealing with the most intense feelings of loss and grief. Your podcast helped me get through that, and subsequent family issues that have plagued me since Dad died. So I thank you for that. It's been weirdly therapeutic, I guess. I have a few stories to tell, but I'm not sure I'll get them all in this one email. I'll probably need to send a few over time. But in the past couple of years, I, along with my children, have all been diagnosed with ADHD. So there may be something to the theory that the neurodiverse are more susceptible to the paranormal. I like that idea, as I always felt that I was on a different wavelength to the majority of people. Anywho, on with my experience. I was born in 1980 in a place called Gravesend, Kent, in the southeast of England, to an English father and an Anglo-Indian mother. Mum grew up in southern India before moving to the UK in the 60s. When I was a little girl, I would beg her to tell me stories about India, and she would fill my head with the exotic wonders and mysteries of the place. She would tell me wild ghost stories, tales of murder, human sacrifice, possessions and brutal exorcisms, ones where the victim's hair would be knotted up and nailed to an old tree. The person would then be beaten until the spirit leapt out of them and up the tree. The person's hair would then be cut off, leaving the spirit trapped in the tree. All of this was followed by a very stark warning from my mum: don't walk under old trees in India at night, or a spirit will come down on your head. This, apparently, was a commonly held belief. Basically, people with any mental health condition were treated as possessed, and therefore beaten to a pulp to get the spirit out. Pretty awful stuff. All of my mum's stories fascinated me and fueled a passionate interest for me in stories of the supernatural. I would collect ghost books, UFO books. I'd borrow them from the library. My dad had a collection of file books called Man, Myth and Magic, a series, which I used to love to look at, because it had all these creepy pictures and terrifying articles about modern witchcraft, voodoo, satanic ritual, and malevolent spirits. At school, I'd say I was regarded as a lovable weirdo. Every lunchtime, I would say, "Okay, girls, what do you want to talk about today? Guys or ghosts?" And about 75% of the time, the girls wanted to talk about ghosts. Through my own wild imagination, I created a Folly a Jew situation where I managed to convince all of the girls that we could see a ghost in the girls' toilet. But it was all bullshit. I friggin' loved the shared fear and drama. We all did, because it formed our lunchtime entertainment. But the truth was, I didn't actually believe I had any psychic ability. But I really wanted to see a ghost. Desperately. Because I wanted to have proof of life after death. I needed to know the answers to all my questions about the universe. All the stuff that my Catholic upbringing did not support. But I found it frustrating there was knowledge out there that I couldn't tap into myself until I died. I was both fascinated and terrified of ghosts. I wanted to see them, because, stupidly, I thought that in order to have a ghostly encounter, you had to see them. I now know that's not the case, but disappointingly for the first part of my life, nothing of a supernatural kind ever happened. That is, until I was around 11 or 12. My first encounter took place at the Victoria Centre in Gravesend, a big old Victorian building that sort of loomed over the end of the busy road near the town's train station. The building was used for teaching adult education classes, and there was a large statue of, you guessed it, Queen Victoria out front. I don't know what the building was used for prior to this, though. Maybe one of your listeners may know. My mum was a stay-at-home mum, but she did teach Indian cuisine night classes for adults once a week. And her classes were very popular, especially with all of my school teachers. And at the end of her teaching year, she'd have a Christmas party where all her past students would cook a dish, and we'd all have a feast. Mum's famous curry party was a hot ticket. But I never got to go because my dad would be my mum's guest on those occasions. And he loved my mum's cooking and would guard it jealously. My mum would explain to me that I would just find it boring. It was just adults who attended. But I was always super annoyed with Dad that he got to go and stuff his face while we kids had to stay home with Nan. One year, though, Mum had a last-minute change to her Christmas curry shindig. Because my dad was called in to do the night shift, so I excitedly got to go in his place. That excitement soon worn off, though, as I realised that my teachers were just as boring out of school as in. And the non-teacher participants were all old and equally dull for an 11 or 12-year-old. Therefore, I decided to entertain myself by drawing on the blackboard all night. Now, I should explain a bit what this blackboard was like. It was one of those old-fashioned blackboards that you can roll down to reveal another two blackboards. This was so the teacher could write lots of notes out on the board that you had to copy. The weird thing about this particular blackboard, though, was it was stuck in the one position. Absolutely wedged stuck. I tugged and I pulled, but it was completely stuffed. This annoyed me as I wanted to fill every board with my elaborate drawings. But I couldn't. During the night, of course, I drew hooded demons with glowing eyes, carrying elaborate candelabras, smoke curling around them. All the spooky stuff that the adults would come over to examine and compliment, even though they no doubt thought me strange, and possibly slightly deranged as a child. Still, it kept me out of trouble, and as the night wore on and the food was served and we ate, the adults chatted with each other and they listened with polite amusement to whatever rambling nonsense was coming out of the other person's mouth, or my mouth. Eventually, though, the happy and contented guests thanked my mother profusely, and rolled on out with their very full bellies. Mum and I were left to clean up and put things away. And once everything was back to normal, Mum left me in the room to go downstairs to the payphone and call a taxi. The room was a typical classroom in an old building that's seen better days. Large high ceilings with cracks, white walls that caught the multiple fluorescent lights that made the place seem super bright, but also cold and sterile. There were big old windows. Single pane in those days, definitely not double glazed. And there were stainless steel workbenches and kitchen sinks. I sat on one of these kitchen benches and waited. Maybe a minute or so passed after being alone, of near silence, apart from the traffic you could hear from outside. I don't remember what I was doing or thinking at the time, probably just wishing for bed. But I was shocked out of whatever reverie I was in by an almighty crash. I jumped off the counter and quickly turned to find that the large metal bin in the classroom had somehow fallen on its side, slowly rolling towards me before coming to a stop. I went right to it, puzzled about how on earth it had fallen, when I heard the sound of a slow, high-pitched creak behind me. I turned towards the sound, and to my amazement, I saw the blackboard moving, rolling very slowly down. The very same blackboard that had been stuck all night and was now covered in pictures of demons and the occult. Let's take a quick break in proceedings to talk to you about somebody I've mentioned to you many times before, and that's Acorns. A new year, of course, brings new resolutions. Now, if my body could take itself to the gym, I would be sorted, but it can't do that. However, in regards to your financial situation, Acorns allows you to do that. Not take you to the gym, of course. But if in 2025, giving your money the best chance to grow is one of your resolutions, then choosing Acorns as an investment app is one of the smartest moves you'll make, in my opinion. Acorns will do the taking you to the gym, so to speak. You can set up an automatic withdrawal from your account to your Acorns account. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns allows you to invest with the spare money you have right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. We are so proud to be once again sponsored by Acorns for this episode because Acorns make it so easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. I love working with Acorns because they take things like investments, which we all believe are for other people, and they simplify them and give you all the support you need. Head to acorns.com/darkparanormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid on client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/darkparanormal. Let's have a quick break to ask you a personal question. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. Our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare. You would not believe the amount of things that can mess with our hormones. Even nature likes to put us through hormonal changes, premenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean you're meant to suffer through it. And the good news is, you don't have to suffer through it anymore because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement, it's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony sells every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their over 30,000 plus reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DARKPARANORMAL at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DARKPARANORMAL for 15% off today.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/redcircle.
Just as my brain registered this was not normal, the windows began to rattle. And that was about enough for me. I ran for the door in time to see the handle turning. Just as I was about to scream, my mum walked in. But I just bolted right past her into the hallway, yelling, "It's haunted, Mum. That room is haunted. I am not going back in there." Mum just looked at me and told me to stop fibbing. I swore to her that I was telling the truth. But she wouldn't believe me and accused me of imagining it. By the following year, I insisted on attending the party again. Dad also came along, and once again the food was great, but it wasn't the reason I wanted to go. I wanted to prove my family that the room was really haunted. I wanted to experiment by recreating the events of the previous year to see if it would happen again. So, once again, I drew morbid and grotesque demons on the blackboard, which was firmly wedged up and immovable once again. But despite my high hopes, absolutely nothing happened. This time, Mum didn't need to go downstairs to call a taxi, because my dad was there and could drive us home. So there was no need for me to be left alone in the room. But I did tell my parents to step outside for a few moments so I could test to see if something happened. And it didn't. I look back on my experience and I can rationalize the rattling windows. The building's on a busy road in town. And it is possible that buses or something moving past cause those old, thin windows to rattle. I've even rationalised that perhaps after trying to move the blackboard all night, the rollers had somehow became unstuck, even though they were once again wedged the following year. I can't rationalise the bin falling and rolling by itself. I cannot see how an upright, heavy metal bin could end up rolling around on the floor without being pushed. Like, How? The windows weren't open. There were no drafts, and there was no one else there. After this incident, which no one in my family initially believed, I was quite put out. I knew what I'd experienced was real, but I was also prone to the dramatics. So this was just put down to my overactive imagination and my need for attention. It was quite a few years before anything happened again. But the next real incident was not so benign. I was 14 when my mum and dad decided that we would move as a family to Perth, Western Australia. I did not want to leave the UK and all my friends and cousins. I did not want to leave the beautiful countryside, the ancient buildings and rich history. I was therefore a pretty pissy teenager, and I gave my dad hell. We fought a lot, and as a refuge, I found myself dabbling more and more with the occult as I grew up. I was a good Catholic girl when I was in England, but in Australia, I didn't attend Catholic school anymore. There weren't that many religious people there. Much to my mother's displeasure, I stopped going to church and I let religion lapse. I was reading books about witchcraft, paganism, playing with tarot cards, etc. It became my favourite pastime. Soon, I had a casual job at a local supermarket. And once I graduated high school and went to university, I kept my job to pay for my uni books and to pay for the frivolity of youth. I would work the Thursday late night shift and finish up around 10 p.m. On this particular night, I needed to stop for petrol. I had a little three-door Getz hatchback that I'd bought. The ones where you had to collapse the front seats to get into the back seats. That detail will be important later. So I fueled up and I went inside to pay. I returned to my car, put my seatbelt on and started her up. As I began pulling out, I was suddenly aware I was not alone in my car. I could smell him. A revolting BO. An onion sweat smell that definitely wasn't coming from me. I was aware that he was sitting behind me. I could see all this clearly in my mind's eye. A heavy Mediterranean-looking man. A big lumpy alcoholic's nose. He had rope, duct tape, and a knife. My gut told me not to react, to not look in the rearview mirror and just drive normally. It was a 5-minute drive to my house, so I figured I'd get there and then leap out, run to the door, get to the house and call the police. Well, that was one long 5 minutes. The presence behind me felt so overwhelming, so real. I could visualize this evil, murderous intent directed towards my back. I actually don't know how to describe how I could feel this sensation. It was just this awful, terrifying vibe. It was enough to induce a fight or flight response in my body. My fear response was real. My adrenaline was pumping. But I had to fight to keep my breath even and not give this guy any hint I knew he was there. I just kept thinking that as soon as I pull up, he would slip that rope around my neck, so I needed to act quick. As soon as I pulled into the driveway, I flung open my doors, pulled the keys from the ignition and bolted for the house. I managed to unlock the front door, all whilst yelling for my brother, who came running to see what was going on. I screamed at him, "There's someone in the car!" And together, we stared back at my vehicle. The car door still wide open. the light illuminating the interior. But we couldn't see anyone. We slowly crept over to the car, peered inside. Nothing. No man, no bag of weapons left behind hastily, and no terrible smell. My little Getz was not the type of car that you would be able to get out of hastily. You'd need to flip the chair forward, then awkwardly clamber out. My brother checked the car over for me again, and to be honest, I've no idea what he thought. But he could see I was terrified. I don't know if he believed me, though. I, however, believe then and there I had encountered something I could not explain. Something I could not rationalize. I believed it to be paranormal, and I told my whole family about it. Of course, they all thought me mad, but what was new, they always did. But I knew what happened, how I felt, how real it felt. To the point where I actually believed there was a real person in that car with me. How do you explain that away? I've since listened to a recent episode of Dark Bites, where one of your listeners talks about clarification. And I wonder if I might have this ability. This was not the first time I had smelt a spirit. The first time I was sat in my geography class, and the smell of my grandmother's perfume wafted in through the window a day or two after she died. But at least that was a pleasant smell, not like B.O. Psycho Ghost. I also believe that my mum's younger sister also may have some abilities, and she may even share this smelling ability, though I don't know enough to speculate further than that. Kevin, I have so many stories to tell, but I'm aware I've waffled on long enough. I will say that the stories in this email are tame by comparison to my later stories. But I've now set the scene, and I will send you more in due course. Hug your cat often. It helps with grief. Take care of yourself, Nat. Well, thank you so much, Nat, for such an interesting and descriptive experience. And of course, as ever, as many people do, you sign off by saying you have even more terrifying experiences to write down. And I beg of you to do so on behalf of both myself and our entire listener base. You do ask about the history of that building, and the Queen Victoria School for Learning was opened in 1893 by Jack McManus, the youngest daughter of Queen Victoria. Originally called Gravesend County Day School, it was devoted to science and art, although the school itself moved location in 1938. At that point, the building became a technical training school and eventually morphed into an adult education centre. Interestingly, it was struck by lightning in 1981, suffering minimal damage, but it was a curious strike, given at that point much taller buildings and much more suitable candidates to receive that typical strike, though I'm sure that's just coincidence. Also mentioned there is clairofaction. I'm sure you'll be aware with other clairs, such as clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, clairofaction is the ability to sense something supernatural via smell. Ironically, it's often one of the features of many of the stories and experiences that we've covered. Somebody, for example, smelling cigarette smoke in an area where nobody's been smoking. But in that situation, you have to ask the question, is the scent itself almost like a message from a spirit? Or does the smeller of that scent have the ability of clairofaction? It's something really hard to decipher when going through experiences, but I would say in relation to you smelling that scent in that car to get the car history checked out, i.e. who owned it before you, and God forbid, but did anything tragic happen in that gets. But thank you so much for giving us our first episode of the second half of season 18 of The Dark Paranormal. And of course, I want to say thank you as well to everyone who's become a team member over at Patreon. Yes, by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/thedarkparanormal, not only do you receive all of the perks mentioned at the beginning, but we also read out a thank you at the end of the show to say thank you for choosing to support something you love. Thank you for your community. Thank you for supporting an independent podcaster as opposed to a multimedia conglomerate. And the wonderful new team members to our Patreon society are as follows: James Rhodes, Karen, Susie Still, Quinn Pallone, Jennifer, Sue, Brian Little, Sandra D., Tabitha Hoffmeyer, Lauren McPherson, Tony Allen, Spencer Hopwood, Max, Xavier Serlau, Steve Sant, Morgan Collins, E., Melinda Dunn, Peter Smart, Andrew, John Taint, Rosemary Heather, Father of All, and Samantha T. A huge, massive welcome and thank you for supporting this show. You literally are allowing the show to continue to move forward. And if you like the sound of early access, ad-free releases, and of course, the ability to get access to over 100 hours of Patreon-only content in Dark Bites and a new show every week, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. But right now, I want to say thank you for joining me on your show, and we'll be back next week. But remember, when you're talking about the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I will see you next time, right here on your show, The Dark Paranormal.
% off everything you can fit inside the bag is back at Menards. Make painting easier by using a one-coat product. Grand Distinction is an interior paint and primer in one that will give your home a fresh, updated look. Right now, get 15% off Pittsburgh products and all the painting supplies you can fit inside the bag through January 12th. See store for complete details. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.